Go with me, if you would, back to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. This portion of Scripture is one that I can honestly say has helped me every time I've needed it. Every time that I have needed it. Every time I read this or quote this, I quote it often. Or just think about it in my mind and in my heart. It brings peace to me. This portion of Scripture brings peace to me. And I'm just telling you that. I'm just bearing my heart to you. This is one for me that brings absolute peace to me. Now, a different portion of Scripture, Proverbs 30, says, every word of God is pure. I love that verse. Every word of God is pure. And then Psalm 119 says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Every one of them. Every word from God, all of these words, every word from God is holy and righteous and just and life. Every word from God is life. Not one of His words will ever fail. Never. Never. I think all the time about how I cannot wait to enter the great congregation and watch the pastor ascend the pulpit. And he's going to preach his word to us. And he's going to preach it as it was written. Not one word is going to fail. Every single word is going to last forever. Therefore, not one word is greater than another word. But I very strongly believe that the Lord selects certain portions of Scripture to reach different ones of His people individually and speak to them through His Word. I believe the Lord, our living Lord, through His living Word, speaks individually to His people. We all have certain portions of Scripture that whenever we hear them or we read them, we feel like He is literally speaking to us in our heart. We hear it from Him. We hear His voice. And it blesses us and it speaks to our heart. For me, this is one of those passages. Every time I read this, I think, that is wisdom. Every time I read this, I think, that is right. That's the answer. That's the answer. It's Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Every time I read that, I think, that's the answer. That's the answer. Every time I'm in a position where I'm asking myself, what should I do? Which is all the time. All the time. Every time I come back to this passage, every time I'm reminded of this passage, it speaks to my heart and it says, this is what you should do. That's what this passage says to me. This is what you should do. It's a four-step process. Number one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. All of it. You know, we talk about something being from the bottom of my heart, from the top of my heart to the bottom of my heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Number two, whatever you do, don't lean on your own understanding of things. And that's the one that we really need help with. If the Lord will help us with that, that'll lead to number one. If the Lord will help us with number two, that'll lead to number one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding of things. Number three, in every way, every step, every word, every desire, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge His power. Acknowledge His sovereignty. Acknowledge His control, especially in the thing I'm going through. And number four, this passage says, after you do the first three, then just wait on the Lord. He will direct you. He will. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Isn't that comforting? That is so helpful to me. That is just so helpful to me. I need my Lord. I do. And you need your Lord. And isn't it so wonderful to know that we have Him? We truly have Him. We sincerely have Him. Turn with me over to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verse 24, it says, a man that hath friends, or a man that wants to have friends, must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You want to talk about a man who showed himself friendly? Oh, there is a friend. We have a friend. And the Lord's letting me enter into this right now. This is blessing my heart. We have a friend. You ever had a true friend? I mean a true friend. We have a friend. We have the friend of all friends. We have a friend like no other friend. A friend who actually laid down his life for his friends. What a friend. What a friend we have in the Lord Jesus. We just sang, what a friend we have in the Lord Jesus. Turn with me to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verse 1, it says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. What does that mean? What does it mean that He has redeemed His people? That means He paid the price for their sin. That's what it means. The Lord Jesus paid it all. all the debt we owed. He paid what God demanded to settle the debt of our sin. What did he pay it with? What was the price? He paid it with his own precious blood, the blood that flowed from Emmanuel's veins. When the Father saw the blood, he said, when I see the blood, when the Father saw the blood, he said, I'm satisfied. They're redeemed. The payment's made. The price has been paid in full. He said, Son, they are yours. Take them with you. When you pay the price in full, you can take it with you. They're yours to have and to hold from this day forward, never to part again. Never again. Isaiah 43, right here, verse 1 says, But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, sinner, trickster, supplanter, in your own flesh. He went on to say, And he that formed thee, O Israel, prince with God. Speaking to the same person. Prince with God in Christ. Jacob in your flesh, Israel in Christ. He said, Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. You're mine. That's wonderful to hear, isn't it? You are mine. I bought you out of your condemnation into glorious liberty and freedom with me. You're mine. You're mine. And he said in verse 2, When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. He said, The flood will not overtake you because it overtook me. And the fire will not touch you because the fire touched me. I'm your Savior. I'm your keeper. I'm your Redeemer. I'm your friend. I'm your friend. This is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. Go back two chapters. Isaiah 41 and look at verse 10. Isaiah 41 verse 10. He said, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. That means don't be puzzled. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. In verse 13, he said, For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. How sweet that is that he would take the time. Let's just enter into to God. I think about the fact that, oh, how merciful it is that God would have anything to do with sinners, but that he would take the time to sit with me. It's amazing that God would have mercy on a people all over this world, that a number no man can number, but that God would take the time to sit down beside me and hold my hand. He said, Don't worry, I'll just sit there with you and hold your hand. Verse 13, For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. And I'll just say to you while I'm sitting there holding your hand, fear not, I'll help you. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob. And you men of Israel, I'll help you, saith the Lord and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Now that's what he has said to us. That's what he has said to us. What are we going to do in response? That's what he says to his people. What are we going to do in response? We're going to trust him. By God's grace, not by our doing at all. By his sufficient grace, we're going to trust him. We're going to trust our Lord. We're going to look to our Lord. We're going to believe the word of our Lord with all of our heart. Not part of our heart. Like, yes, I believe him with this half, and then I'm going to do my own thing with the other half. We're not going to believe him with most of our heart, but we're going to reserve a little bit of our heart for a backup plan. We're going to trust the Lord with our whole heart. We're going to put it all in him. All of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. We're going to, by his grace, we are going to cast our all on him. We're going to cast our all on him. Look with me at Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. What is good? He said, trust in the Lord and do good. What is good? Trusting in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Verse 4, he said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Delight thyself in the Lord. Make your heart's desire be in the Lord. And he said, if your heart's desire is in the Lord, you're going to get the Lord. You're going to get your heart's desire. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5, he said, commit thy way unto the Lord. If you have a margin in your Bible, mine says, roll thy way upon the Lord. And I'm going to have a moment of awkward silence until we enter into that. Roll it all on him. Just roll it all on him. Everything. Roll it all over to him. Now that sounds so relieving. Isn't that so relaxing? Roll everything over to him. We don't know how to do that. It takes the Spirit and the grace and the blessing of God to even make a sinner do that. But we can ask, Lord, would you take it from me and roll it over to you? Roll everything over to him. Our Lord is constantly saying, fear not. He's about to say, fret not. It's all we do is fret. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That means he'll take care of it. He shall bring it to pass. He'll take care of it. He will take care of it. Glorious news for the burdened. He'll take care of it. And he will. He has proven that to his people for generations upon generations, time and time again. He'll take care of them. Wait on the Lord. Look to the Lord. Trust the Lord. He'll take care of it. Verse 6, he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him and don't fret over anything. Just trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord and rest in the Lord. That's the answer. That's wisdom. That's peace. We want to trust the Lord. God's people do. They want to trust the Lord. We want to not lean on our own worldly understanding. We want that. We want to acknowledge Him. And we want to wait on Him. But our flesh is so weak. It is so, so weak. The spirit of the new man that God has created in us is willing. But the flesh of the old man is so weak. And we fret over everything. We worry about everything. We worry about everything. Trying to, in our minds, fix everything. Constantly trying to plot our steps, to find our way. Not realizing that verse 23 right here, if you look at Psalm 37, verse 23, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. We're constantly trying to figure out which way to go, not realizing, forgetting the fact that all of our steps have actually been ordered by the Lord. Verse 23 says, the steps of a good man. That means a man or a woman in Christ. There's none good but Christ. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Verse 24 says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. He said in verse 25, I've been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And then in verse 26, he said, he is ever merciful. That means merciful forever. Get a hold of that. He is merciful forever. And lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Trust him. Lean on him. Acknowledge him and wait on him. He knows us. He knows our frame. He knows who we are. He knows where we are. He knows what we are. Before he formed us in the belly, he knew us. He knows what things we have need of. He knows our downsitting, our uprising. That means every time we sit down and every time we stand up. He knows. Go with me over to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 1, it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. You know all my thoughts. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before. Thou hast laid thine hand upon me. He said, you're behind me. You're in front of me. You've laid your hand on me. He said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. He said, you know everything about me. Everything about me. And then look at verse 17. He said, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. The next time you go to the beach, if you can remember to do this, I want you to do this. The next time you go to the beach, I want you to scoop up a handful of sand and count all the grains in your hand. It'll probably take you all day to do it. All right? And whatever number you come up with, every time you count a grain of sand, that's how many thoughts he has had toward you. And that's just one handful of sand. After you count that, look up and down the beach both ways, and then circle the United States and North America, South America, and then go to all the other continents. And then think about all the sands that's under the water, not just the beach. He said, if I could count all of your thoughts that you've had toward me, you know everything about me. And if I could count every time Gabe Stonecker entered your mind, there's not enough grains of sand on the earth to equal that number. He said in verse 18, if I should count them, they're more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Every time I wake up, I still have you. I'm still with you. I still have your mercy. I still have your compassion. I still have your faithfulness to me. Every time I wake up, it's proven to me again, you haven't left me. You haven't forsaken me. You've loved me with an everlasting love. Doesn't that make you want to trust him? For everything, eternally, temporarily, spiritually, materially, emotionally, in the blood of the Lamb, for Christ's sake, he loves us. He loves us. He loves his people, loves the one he died for. Could we, with ink, the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill? And every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. He loves us, and we can trust Him. We can trust His Word to us. We can trust. You think about the fact that we read these pages and we say, is it really so? Is it really true? Does that really apply to me? Can I really count on that? Martin Luther said, feelings come. Sometimes I feel saved and sometimes I don't. And he said, feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for lack of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever, for though all things shall pass away, His word shall stand forever. You know what that means? That means we can trust Him. We can trust Him. Let's close back in our text. Proverbs 3. At all times, in all circumstances, this is our guidance. This is our comfort. This is our peace. This right here is our rest and our peace. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall. I love that word. He shall. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. If I just wait and just look to Him and pray to Him and call on Him and cry out to Him and roll it over to Him, and if I say, Lord, I'm putting it in Your hands. If I do that, will it be taken care of? Will He lead me if I say, Lord, I'll wait on You until You make it clear? Will He make it clear? Will He lead me? That right there says, He shall direct your paths. He will. He will. Trust Him. Let's trust Him. All right, let's all stand together.